Welcome to the network Survive to Thrive at www.survivetothrive.net. That's survive, the number two, thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will host on Fridays, Hawk on Thursdays, Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays, Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These are trying times that look to be getting more and more challenging every day. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas, health that you will need to survive and thrive in these challenging times. Please keep in mind that these shows do cost money to air, and presently EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network, and your own health and ability to thrive in these times. Go to survivetothrive.net, that's www.survive2thrive.net, and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238, that's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com, that's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product can extend the life of your dehydrated food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. In essence, the EnerFood and coconut combined constitute a meal replacement, so that can extend the life of your stored foods. And in addition to giving you energy and nutrition that your body needs, it has a two-year shelf life. Take a look also at the organic Coco Mojo and coffee, as well as our other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners from time to time, so be sure to tune in often for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on these shows is truly helpful. We want to help reduce physical and other forms of suffering for you, your family, and community today and in the times that are coming. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. Nathan Leal here, and you're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. Today is Tuesday, November 30th, 2010, the year of our Lord. And for those of you that are taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. Well, here we are, folks. 5 days beyond the day of Thanksgiving, that day when many Americans get together, eat a hearty meal, and give thanks to the God of heaven. And hopefully for many of you, it was a good day. For those of you that have been listeners to this program, you've heard me talk about making an extra effort this holiday season to make some good memories with your loved ones, because we do not know how many more good Thanksgivings are in our future. Thanksgiving's over, and now the Christmas season and the Hanukkah season is upon us. So I want to continue that admonition and those words of encouragement. Folks, enjoy your families. We have one more month remaining in the year 2010. Tomorrow begins December. And from that point on, we will have a 31-day countdown. And then it is going to be a new year, 2011. And what does the year 2011 have in store for us? Well, of course, only God knows, but God has been allowing some of His children to have glimpses of some of the things that are coming. And my friends, these things that are approaching are not going to be stopped, and they're going to affect every one of us. They're going to change many lives. And that's what this program is about, talking about getting ready for what's coming. We discuss preparing for the things that are coming. And folks, this is not the Powder Puff show and the Candy Cane show. And also, we are not politically biased, because there is not a political solution to the ills of this country and this world. Democrats are not going to save us, and the Republicans are not going to save us. The problem with the nation of America is not partisan. It's spiritual. And right now, many of you have questions. You're trying to decide what to do. Some of you are trying to be strategic in your planning. How to preserve your wealth? Should you relocate? In order to decide all of these things, we need to look at the present events through several lenses, and we talk about that frequently, through the lens of man And we also need to examine the present scenarios through a biblical spiritual lens. And to fail in doing those things will leave all of us with unanswered questions. And even though the world refuses to see today's events through the lens of God, that will not stop the spiritual reality from taking place. And my friends, I know that many of you, you're seeking answers. You seek after knowledge. You want to be informed. That's why you listen to this program. You know, folks, it's really, really amazing how humans would rather stay in the dark. Or they would rather turn the light down and pretend that everything is normal. Denial does not accomplish anything, my friends. Those of you that have been on board with the Awake message for long enough, you know by personal experience that many, many people refuse to listen to the truth. For some reason, they just do not want to know the truth. Why do they choose to stay in darkness? It makes no sense. So you try and you try to warn them. But instead of listening to you, many times they may even insult you. They call you names. They summarize your mental capacity with insults. They may call you crazy. You do not know what you're talking about. But my friends, I want to encourage you. Please do not give up. And thank God that you have found the truth and that your eyes are open. So be encouraged with that. And also, please do not give up on those friends and loved ones. Because eventually, as things continue to unwind, there are more people that are going to come on board and they're going to need answers. So they will be depending on you to explain things to them. Now, on today's program, we're going to talk about more events that are occurring. If you heard the program last week, you heard the information. Police state measures have arrived in this country. TSA pat-downs, the naked scans occurring in airports across the country. Now, since last week, when that story about the TSA seemed to be all over the headlines of regular news, some new events have occurred. And today I'm going to talk about some of those other news events. Folks, this thing is increasing in velocity. What thing is that? The collapse of this modern world. The collapse of today's Western way of life. The collapse of the United States of America, of Europe, of the West, and of the industrial world. Right now, folks, we are witnessing the industrialized world right now is being raped and dismantled. And it doesn't really matter where you live because pretty much all the nations of this world are going to feel what's coming. The ones that are going to feel it the worst are going to be members of first world industrialized countries. For those of you that live in Europe, I've received some emails from you and you've asked me to include some of the things happening in your part of the world. And lo and behold, you guys are on the news right now. And I'm going to talk about it in a little bit. But first, I want to mention something. There's legislation in Congress that talks about shutting down the internet or limiting the information that is on the internet under different categories. Some of it has to do with copyright infringement. Some of it has to do with alternative health, growing natural foods. Some of it has to do with hate speech. But here's the bottom line, folks. It looks like it is possible that the internet or some genres in the internet could have their days numbered. And one category that I can easily see being policed a lot further than is happening right now would be the alternative news media and the alternative Christian message, which is what you're listening to right now. And if that day were to come, this program would no longer be in the air. Someday, it may be illegal to criticize some of the policies in government or to expose some of the plans of those in leadership and in power. And if those days arrived, folks, you would no longer hear this program. Now, because of that possibility, I am trying to be ready for it. If the internet goes down, what I plan to do is continue these programs like they did in the 70s when radio programs were sent out by snail mail. Of course, back then they did it on cassette tapes, but in the future we would do it on CDs. So my program would continue on CD. So in the event the internet goes down, I do not want to lose communication with you. So in this program, folks, I want to just give a quick reminder. Please go to my website and send me an email with your physical snail mail address so that I can get in touch with you through a newsletter. You know, folks, it's really, really amazing how fast this thing is going. It's only been 7 days since the last program. And in those 7 days, there are headline news stories in several categories that are very serious and that are possibly very pivotal events that are going to play a vital role in the future. Some of those events could involve war. and they could also involve the coming collapse of world economies. Now, let me just give you a list of what I want to cover in the remaining minutes of this program. Black Friday madness. And folks, you know what Black Friday is, right? That's the day after Thanksgiving, the Friday after, where many Americans will wake up at 3 and 4 in the morning and stand outside of a store so that they can be the first ones to enter the store. The store opens the doors very, very early, sometimes at 5 or 6 or 7 in the morning. And the shoppers that are the first ones through the door are able to purchase some of the store's items for discounted prices. So we're going to talk about that. Also, we have rumors of war occurring. The participants have to do with North and South Korea, China, and they have to do with the United States of America. Over the past several days, North Korea has fired upon the nation of South Korea. Several people have died. There has been widespread damage, and this has occurred by the shelling of North Korea to an island that they are fighting over. And they have been arguing over this island since the Korean War. Also, it looks like some classified top secret documents have been released. These top secret documents were released on the WikiLeaks website. And these documents have to do with diplomatic correspondence between U.S. embassies throughout the world and our State Department. So the conversations that have happened in these private cables, they're not emails, they're cables, have been classified as top secret. But the things that were stated in these letters of correspondence are very telling. Basically, America's dirty laundry has come out for everybody to see. Also, the story of the European economic crisis is growing more and more dire. And those of you that live over there, you know what I'm talking about. This debt crisis is a bomb with a very long fuse. And these bombs consist of not just one explosion, but they're going to be a cluster of explosions. And they're going to spread throughout Europe, and then they're going to arrive here in America, where we're going to continue to see the dismantling of the American economy. Over the last few days, Ireland has stated that they needed a bailout, and Europe came to the rescue. After Ireland received their money, the regular cable news made it seem that all is well and it's business as usual. But here's the problem, folks. Every time any nation receives a bailout, that nation becomes mired in deeper and deeper debt, and they also have to give something in exchange for their bailout. It has been reported that Ireland had to give away some of her own resources to get the bailout. And some of those resources included gas companies, electric companies, highways, and other assets. So in order for Ireland to get bailed out, they basically had to sell their future. They had to hock it. So in the event of a default, some of the sovereign resources of Ireland will no longer belong to them. And you know, folks, that's the way these international bankers seem to work. They'll go into a nation and they will do what they can behind the scenes in shadow events to allow a monetary crisis or a debt crisis to happen. And then they'll come in as the great savior and they will have that nation sign over their resources and their wealth to the bank that rescues them. The IMF and the World Bank have been participating in this sort of looting and plunder for years. They have done it in South America, in Middle America, in Asia, in Africa, and now they're doing it in Europe. In addition to Ireland, we also have Portugal, Greece, and now Spain that are going to be needing some help. If Spain gets to the point where they do need help and they fall off a cliff, there is not enough money in the European resource pool to rescue Spain. Spain is a nation that is too big to fail, and it is also a nation that is too large to be bailed out. So Europe is teetering on an edge of a cliff right now, folks. Here we are with 1 month left in the year 2010, but as we go into the year 2011, next year, folks, it looks like there are more nations in Europe that are going to start toppling. And as these nations begin to topple, there's going to be a chain reaction. So folks, here's what's going on. I have mentioned many, many times that America is going to suffer pain, a great shaking. Well, in addition to America, Europe is going to hold our hand and go through it with us. So those of you that are in Europe, please take all the admonitions that you are hearing and also be challenged to get your spiritual hearts and your lives in order. Now, as Europe unwinds and falls into economic crisis, that's going to spread to this side of the ocean. And you know, folks, in times past, investors throughout the world are constantly moving their money. They will move it from the dollar to the euro and back and forth they go. But as Europe begins exhibiting and manifesting her currency crisis, and as it spreads to the United States, investors are not going to want to put their money in the euro, and they're not going to want to put it in the dollar. You see, folks, this policy, quantitative easing part two, was a nail in the coffin for the dollar. So it looks like in the middle of 2011, we are either going to see them do QE3, which will further destroy the dollar, or we will actually watch other nations say, you can forget about it. We're not going to buy your money anymore. So folks, here's what's in store for 2011. Carnage in the world economy. And this is why we talk about these things, so that you can anticipate it and plan for it. And also so that you can try to warn your loved ones that these things are coming. So folks, think about this. Greece is having a meltdown right now because their debt is too high. Well, if we were to compare apples to apples, the American debt amount is higher than that of Greece. Our debt is too high. The rest of the world is going to stop buying our treasuries, which means they're going to stop investing in our currency, which means there will be no way for us to service the interest on our debt, which means that our dollar is going to be inflated, and we are going to see inflation like we've never seen before. We are going to see the prices of items go up like never before. Since the rest of the world will no longer want to invest in the dollar, they are going to want to find somewhere to place their money. And this is where they're going to do it, because we're watching this happen already. The rest of the world are going to place their money in the commodities market. That causes the prices of these commodities to increase, which means food at the store is going to climb in prices. So in 2011, these are the things we have to look forward to. An increase in commodities, an increase in inflation, the dollar losing its value. Folks, you know what this means? This means that the traditional safe haven for wealth will no longer be a safe haven. This means that if you have your money parked in a savings account or some pension fund, it's going to eventually get hammered and get demolished. So I would really, really seek God and find out if you need to be finding another location for your liquid assets, for your money. Bottom line, folks, get out of the dollar. The dollar does not have a future. I've been emailed. Some of you have asked me, should I be buying a house right now? Should I invest in gold and silver? And the reason that some of you are asking, should you buy a house, is because you have seen prices come down on the prices of real estate around you. So you want to take advantage of those lower prices. Well, this is what I believe, folks. And this is just my opinion, but this is what I believe. We have not seen the bottom of the real estate market yet. It's going to go down another 20, 30, or even 50% in some areas. So if you're willing to wait and you're able to hang in there, and if you have the funds available, you may be able to buy a house cheaper in this coming summer than they are priced right now. However, there is another variable in that equation, and it's this. Foreclosure gate may cause problems in the title of ownership for a lot of real estate. So if you find yourself wanting to buy a house, the thing that you're going to need to do is to make sure that the title is free and clear. And how can you be sure of that? I don't know, folks. They say some of these titles are clouded even back into the 80s. So maybe your way around that is to purchase the property from someone that has held it free and clear for several decades, since the 70s or the 60s. But don't just listen to me, folks. You need to find counsel from your local area. You need to be able to pray about it, and you need to be able to bounce it off someone else that possibly has good insight about this, who lives near you. Why am I talking about this? Here's why, folks. Many of you are going to be needing to make these kinds of decisions of relocation, of preserving your money. Some of you may even be challenged and need to pray about taking your money out of your retirement fund, even though there's a penalty, so that you can preserve it. Some of you may need to be taking your money out and investing in gold and silver. So a lot of choices to be made, folks. Some of you may be saying, Nathan, you're saying radical things. How are you so sure? Here's why I'm sure, folks. Because the Holy Spirit has allowed me to experience prophetic dreams over the last several years, and many of these dreams are already on record as coming to pass, and some of them are coming to pass right now. The elements of these dreams have to do with the events coming to this planet. They have to do with a collapse of the dollar. One of the prophetic warnings that the Holy Spirit gave was that the dollar was going to be canceled in the world. And already we are seeing that happen. On November the 24th, just a few days ago, China and Russia decided to come to a bilateral agreement where they will no longer use the dollar in transactions between each other, but they're going to start using their own currencies. That's just one story about the dollar's demise. China has been making these sorts of arrangements with countries all over the world. They have done it with Turkey. They've done it with Brazil. So this thing is in motion, folks. What does it mean for us? Well, it means that possibly we just experienced the last normal Thanksgiving that we're going to experience as Americans for the rest of our lives or for a long, long time. It also may mean that this coming Christmas season may be the last normal Christmas season that many of you are going to experience for the rest of your life. I know that those are radical words, folks, but the can has already been opened. The lid has been popped. What else does it mean? It means that as we see these events unraveling, and as we get into the year 2011 and into 2012, we're going to see meltdowns of municipal budgets, city budgets here in America. We're going to see cities unable to pay their bills. We're going to see counties and state governments unable to pay their bills. And as that happens, it's going to be a domino effect that is going to result in a new way of life in many areas of the United States. In addition to that, we are starting to see more unemployed workers run out of their unemployment benefits. Because even now, in the last day of November, we are going to see approximately 2 million people run out of their unemployment benefits this month, folks. And then next month, at the end of December, we are going to see another 2 million people run out of their benefits. So between now and the end of the year, we are going to see about 4 million Americans be without unemployment checks. And here's the question, folks. What are they going to do? Some of these may be you. You know what I'm talking about. What do you do? What is plan B when you're faced with destitution, when you're faced with not enough money to pay the light bill or the rent or the mortgage or the car payment? Is Congress going to pass with another extension? Maybe so. But if they don't, then this is going to put a lot of pressure on the state governments now. And many state governments are already running out of money. So how does a person do what they need to do? Well, it's the bottom line is this, folks. Getting spiritually ready, getting spiritually healthy, getting spiritual fitness, and then on top of that, preparing fiscally, preparing with your handling of your money, preparing by acquiring some supplies, some stored food, and some things that you will need. Now, here's what preparing is not. And this is what most people are actually doing. They listen to these programs. They get scared. 5 minutes later, they go have dinner. And then they have forgotten the warning message. The next day, they go to the store and buy a toy. They buy something that has nothing to do with the immediate future. They go buy a video game, a luxury item. And I'm going to talk about this thing in the second half. But folks, right now is not the time to just be making frivolous purchases. I know it's the holiday season. I know that Christmas is coming. But aside from that, I'm not talking about your budget that you have set aside for Christmas. But I'm talking about frivolous purchases, obtaining things that really are not going to add one dot or tittle to the health or the sustenance of your life. I want to challenge you with that, folks. And before I get started talking about Black Friday, I wanted to talk about the WikiLeaks story real quick. Now, this story is still unfolding, and we don't have a lot of the information on all of the cables that were released. But so far, here's what we do know. These correspondence letters, these cables that were made by diplomats from our embassies throughout the world to our State Department, contain a lot of disturbing information. And now that this information has been released to the world, this is going to erupt into a diplomatic failure for the United States. Essentially, the dirty laundry of America and her diary of secrets is out in the open now. And so far, from some of the revelations that have come forth, concludes with this, folks. The United States does not trust her neighbors. She doesn't trust many nations of this world. Also, she seems to have a fixation with voyeurism. She likes to spy on others. She uses embassies to spy on other nations. And of course, this is not surprising because after all, folks, we already knew this. We knew that all of the nations spy on one another. And for the most part, we knew that other nations use their embassies to spy on us. We know that during the Cold War, the KGB used their embassies to listen in on conversations in America. So this is not surprising. But the tragic part of this is that some of the information is going to create wedges between other nations with one another. For example, it was leaked out that the King of Saudi Arabia had told the State Department that they wanted us to bomb Iran during the opportune time. They wanted us to do it to stop their nuclear reactor from coming to fruition. And since now that has been leaked, that's going to create enemies. Saudi Arabia is now in hot water with her Muslim neighbor. And how many other Islamic nations are going to feel betrayed that Saudi Arabia sided with America to destroy one of their quote-unquote Muslim brothers? This is not good for the peace and the health of the Middle East. Many of those nations may feel betrayed with one another. Some of the Muslim nations may actually say, "Hell good, our Saudi brothers side with the infidels." Other information in those leaks included Pakistan not being trusted. They included the opinions on how America views Russia. They said that Russia's President Medvedev really has no power and that Vladimir Putin is the alpha dog or the boss. Well, you know, folks, I heard that one and I was thinking to myself, that's not a surprise. We actually knew that one because Vladimir Putin, in some respects, has been shown with satire and comedy that he's Europe's version of Chuck Norris. He can fly airplanes and fight bears and he's a black belt and he's tough. So that one doesn't really come as a surprise. But some of these other leaked cables include that Hillary Clinton and Condoleezza Rice encouraged spying on other nations. They encouraged collecting biometric information, fingerprints, and even DNA samples on diplomats from other countries. Now, again, that's not surprising because nations have been doing this forever. The KGB has been doing this for a long time. Russia has been doing it. China does it. Interpol does it. So some of these cables are not that shocking or surprising. But in the big picture, this is how this WikiLeaks story can have an effect in the world. And as more of the cables are released, what this can actually do is cause nations to be angry with one another to the point where we can see a war created, because this is going to create more enemies among the allies. It's going to fracture foreign relationships. It's going to create anger, revenge, and it also makes the United States of America look untrusting, and it makes them look like the world's big brother who spies not only on her citizens now, but spies on the entire world. Now, in that regard, folks, that is not good. Last week, I shared about the TSA not trusting her citizens, and the rest of the world saw this. The rest of the world looks at us and is now shaking their head at how the Statue of Liberty no longer represents freedoms for a free people in a free republic over here. And now, with this WikiLeaks, it looks like the United States not only cannot trust her own citizens, but she also does not trust the diplomats, the politicians. She also does not trust the rest of the world. Now, if a war can come out of this mess, the next question would be, who did this? Was it a disgruntled citizen? Was it really just one guy acting independent and alone? Or was it a planned event? Is this a staged event? And was it supported by clandestine and rogue elements in America's State Department who desire a war? Is that what it was, folks? You know, the New World Order wants a war. They want chaos. They want ashes. They want to see a phoenix rise from the ashes of World War III. And you know, folks, the hero only shows up after a victory. And if there is a victory, then that raises a question. Who is going to be defeated? Again, folks, this program is not just political editorial. This is a prophetic warning. The train of judgment is arriving with many more events. And as it arrives, what are you going to be doing when it arrives? Are you going to be participating in your regular lifestyle? Are you going to be continuing in your good or your bad behavior? You know, folks, we've all misbehaved. All of us need his help. So here's the message, folks. It's time to clean up. It's time to think about cleaning up. These days are dire, They're serious, and we all need to be considering some very important things. Well, it looks like the break is coming. So after the break, I am going to talk about Black Friday and also give some thoughts that we all need to be considering. Don't go away, folks. I'll see you in a few minutes.
All right, now we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. And, I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really that good.
And she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Watchman's Cry Ministries would like to take a moment to say thank you to our sponsor, Steve St. Clair of Inner Health Botanicals. In these days of chemtrails, modified food, and chemical additives, it is more important than ever to do what you can to protect and improve on your health. So head on over to survivetothrive.net and check out their products. That's Survive to Thrive, S-U-R-V-I-V-E, the number 2, T-H-R-I-V-E.net.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. And before the break, we were talking about many of the pivotal points that seem to be occurring simultaneously in the world right now. I'm sure that there are many people out there that would argue and say, the United States cannot be under judgment because basically America is a good country, full of people of quality that are spiritual. We're a Christian nation. And I can understand how people would say that because, for the most part, if you were to go to a shopping mall and sit on the bench and watch people go by, you would probably see well-dressed people, a father and a mother pushing a stroller with their children next to them. And you would see people who dressed fairly well. And by those first impressions, it would seem that all of the people are good Christian Americans. But looks can be very deceiving. As I stated at the beginning of this program, last week, 5 days ago, we experienced Thanksgiving. People sat around the table, held hands, said a prayer of Thanksgiving, maybe even confessed and made a little speech, and it sounded good. But no sooner than 24 hours later, over 150 million Americans took part in the new cultural event of America. And that event is called Black Friday. Black Friday consists of commercial retailers opening their doors very, very early, 5 to 6 to 7 in the morning, and they offer limited discounts on limited items, 30 to 40% off TVs and laptops. So in order for the shoppers to take advantage of these, they have to be the first ones through the door to get a hold of these items. And they will wait for the doors to open, and then they rush down the aisles to the item and try to grab one of the items that's on sale. And as I describe it, it may sound like a good idea. However, here's where the equation becomes disturbing. What has been happening more and more is that individuals will want to get that item. People will stampede through the open doors like a herd of cattle, and they will rush into the stores, knocking over shelf displays, knocking over the people in front of them, stepping over the people in front of them, and people have become injured. There have been people that have actually had to go to the hospital because they were stampeded by others. And it gets worse, folks. As the people rush into the items, fights will break out. There will be two individuals that will each have their hands on a laptop or a TV, and they will fight over it. Now, this used to be an event that was limited here and there, but over the last few years, this has become a very common practice for people to become hypnotized and intoxicated with a new sort of madness. It's amazing, folks. The day before, these same people who gave testimony of poetic gratitude were now consumed in intoxication to grab an item and to spend their money. Now, here's the part that gets really disturbing. Are these items food staples for living? Are they food that people must have to feed their children? No. The race is for items of luxury, of entertainment, of convenience. And all of this occurs on Black Friday, the dark scar on the culture of America. And it is also the day when many Americans reveal who they really are. They reveal that in actuality, they are a culture of materialistic gluttons who gotta have it. The competition is fierce. And why wouldn't it be? Because after all, those good Americans have been waiting outside of the store since the night before. They have braved the cold. They have braved the elements. And they've waited for the doors of the store to open. So, since they're so willing to arrive so early and run down the aisle to spend that credit card that's in their pocket, people should get out of their way. Right, folks? But here's the question that I ask myself every year when I witness this madness on Black Friday. Why? Why do many of these people resort to this? Now, I can hear some people saying, well, they're saving money, Nathan. That's why they do it. To that statement, I can answer, really? Well, I was asleep in bed during that madness, and I also saved money. I spent zero. You see, folks, spending money on gotta have stuff and doing it as a participant of Black Friday stampedes may be making a purchase and spending money at a reduced dollar cost, but at what expense is this taking place? What is the real cost? Number one, most likely many of the individuals are using their credit card, so it is at the cost of more debt in their personal life. That's one cost. But number two, at what cost is this participation to their future and to their soul? My friends, Jesus said, count the cost. Everything in this life has a cost. Stepping on others, running down aisles to get hands on an item to spend money, and doing all of this in the manner that it is set up for, i.e. Black Friday specials, it makes people behave in very selfish ways. It causes a mob mentality of selfishness. It causes the participants to these sorts of specials to covet. It causes two people to arrive at an item and both grab it and fight over it. Now, folks, to ask the question, what's wrong with that picture, that one's easy. It's obvious. And here is where it gets worse. It is also an open display of a decadent culture of people consumed by materialism, consumed by coveting eyes, and displaying this behavior by their actions. And you know, folks, if we could see into the spiritual realm, if we could see the images, the video clips of the mobs stampeding over one another at the doors of Target and Walmart and Best Buy, you know what I also believe we would see? I believe that we would see spiritual vomit coming out of them as they ran to the stores and down the aisles. And I also wonder this, would we also see cackling demonic spirits laughing and fluttering about over them? You know, folks, how crazed, how insane, how desperate do Americans need to really be just to save a few dollars at a retail store on Black Friday? Why would they act this way? If some of you do not know what I'm talking about, go to YouTube and type in Black Friday, madness or insanity or stampede or just Black Friday, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's disturbing, it's disappointing, and as a society, it's embarrassing to see grown adults of America acting this way. And here's another disturbing part of this whole matter, my friends. If these people are willing to act this way just to save 20 or 30 or 40% on a TV or a laptop, if they're willing to act that way and get angry and get into fights just to spend their money for an item that's just convenient entertainment, how would these people act if they had no food and they were at the store? How would they act, folks, if they were hungry, if they were without food? How would they act against their neighbor in their neighborhood? How would they act toward their neighbor who had food, who possibly did their homework and was responsible? How would they treat their neighbor? These people act like a herd of stampeding animals just to save a few dollars. What would they do if they were hungry, folks? Now, I don't want to just leave that as a hypothetical situation. What would they do? This is a better way to phrase that same question. What will they do when the store shelves are empty? What will they do when bread is no longer available at the store? What will they do when they know that you have food? What will they do when they know that you have what they want? You see, folks, right now the times are not entirely bad because we're talking about Black Friday where they're spending money. They're buying video games. They're buying Xbox and PlayStation and Wii consoles. And that's what they're fighting over. But if they were really hungry, folks, these same people who would fight over a laptop would step on their neighbor to get their food. Because today in America, we do not have a culture of citizens that know how to behave. What we do have is a culture of citizens who now deny God, who have rewritten the statutes and the law of God in their heart, who are now living according to their own desire, who now believe in doing what thou wilt, who do not fear God, who do not know the commandments of God, and who only think about themselves. And a big key point about the warning message, my friends, is that A, God is bringing the judgment to America and to the rest of the world to shake and judge his church. He's judging the church first. He's doing that to refine us. He's doing that to create fruit in our lives so that we can discover areas of God that we have no knowledge of at the moment. The events that are coming are to purge us of things in our life that we do not need. So this is a good thing for the church. It is going to be a refining process where the church will discover who they really are. Now, that's one group right there. The other group, the reason for the judgment of God is because God is going to judge the sin of this nation. God is going to judge the works of this nation. God is going to judge the spilt blood of the unborn in this nation. God is going to judge individuals in this nation because they are enemies of God. And if they are enemies of God, then they have no scruples. They do not believe in loving thy neighbor. They do not care about you. Many of them would step over you to buy a laptop. We see this displayed on Black Friday. It's an open display of our moral failure. Black Friday is an open illustration that proves that we are falling short of the glory of God. Today's Black Friday event in America actually should show every one of us and shine a light on the dark stain of this nation, the dark stain that illustrates people that only care about themselves, that only want to look out for number one and not their neighbors. And it's because of that very thing, my friend, that every one of you need to be concerned about the next few years that are going to happen. I want to challenge every one of you to really evaluate the thought that where you live right now may not be the ideal place for you to weather what's coming. It may not, folks. If some of you are wrestling with this decision, should I relocate or should I not, go to YouTube and look at the Black Friday videos. And then tell this to yourself. These are the people that are going to be living next to you when the lights go out. And if they're willing to fight over mittens and fight over scarves and shoes and socks and crock pots and laptops, what are they going to do when they have no food? These are hard questions, my friends, but they need to be addressed. I want to touch on one more topic. Now, there may be some that are listening that may say, Nathan, I still do not think America is that bad. We're really not that bad. We believe in manners. We're courteous. We say the pledge. We're good-natured. You know, folks, patriotism and Christianity are not the same thing. And being able to walk at a shopping mall and say, excuse me, is not the same thing as a heart that is pure before God. The nation of the United States of America has some very dark stains, just like old Israel had, and just like Jerusalem had in the Old Testament when God judged them. And you know, folks, it's really interesting that biblical history rhymes with recent history. We can see the nation of Israel at one time loving God and having the heritage of God and valuing the God of their fathers and worshiping Him and being committed to Him. But then as generations came and went, they lost their love for God. And we can see that same event happening in the church today. We can see that same event happening in America today. So when God judges a nation, usually it's for the same thing. It's because their love for God grows cold and their moral compass becomes tarnished and rusty. And in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, God told Israel what their sins were. And I want to share a portion of that because, you know, folks, I can see America also having this same problem. And it has to do with the sins of Sodom. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. Today, it's very easy to see that in the land of America, we can see the sins of Sodom. So in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, it says, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had, now watch this, folks. She had pride. She had fullness of bread or food. She had an abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Verse 50, and they were haughty or prideful, and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit, or as I saw good. Now, traditionally, most Christians can easily tell you the reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah was because of the homosexuals that were there. They were an abomination, so God destroyed them. And that's true. There were homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we all know the story about Lot. And as we just read right here in verse 50, the sin of Sodom that is popular, the homosexuals, is mentioned. It says, they committed abomination before me. But here's the interesting part of this, folks. That is the last thing mentioned. In verse 49, we read about other things that are mentioned. When we look at the nation of America, it's plain to see that there are homosexuals that have taken over this land. The homosexual agenda is alive and well. We see the homosexual agenda in our education. We see it shoved down the throats of our children. We see it in Hollywood movies, in sitcoms, on TV. Homosexuality has become an accepted lifestyle today. So it's very easy for a Christian to say, we're as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah because of the homosexuals. It's easy to say that. But, my friends, the sins of Sodom that Israel participated in were not only homosexuality. And the sins of Sodom that got Sodom destroyed were not only homosexuality. Because as I read in verse 49, let me read it again, folks. This was the iniquity that was in your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride. And that's the first thing mentioned. Now, someone may ask, why is pride something to have your nation destroyed over? Here's why, folks. Because eventually, if a nation believes that they are untouchable, if they believe that they are so perfect in the eyes of God, if they believe that they're better than all the other nations around them, they have pride. And we can see in Revelation chapter 18, when Babylon is destroyed, it says in Revelation 18 verse 5, her sins, talking about Babylon, have reached heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, meaning to her neighbors, and repay her double according to her works. in the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. So right there, folks, the United States of America is very guilty of practices that have oppressed many other nations of this earth. The United States of America has set up puppet governments throughout this world. And these puppet governments have taken bribes, where the end result was the leader of that nation obeyed and followed orders from America, but many of the citizens of that nation were an oppressed people who lived in poverty. And we have done this throughout Central America, in South America. We have done this in Africa. We have done this in Asia and even in Europe. The United States has stains, my friends. In our program last week, we talked about those stains. And we also talked about this. There is a law of sowing and reaping. And whenever someone sows, they will reap. And we can see the reaping mentioned right here in Revelation 18, verse 5. It says, remember her sins, render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. And in the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. This WikiLeaks revelation that has just broken the headlines of newspapers is talking about how America has some indiscretions throughout the world. America does not trust her neighbors. America spies on the rest of the world. America has done deeds, and many of them have not even been revealed yet. But America is arrogant, my friends. Now, I, Nathan Liao, love this country of America. I was born and raised here, and I have stated over and over in previous programs that I do not hate this country. But my friends, the truth must be stated. America is full of pride, and America has stains against the rest of this world. In Revelation 18, verse 7, it says, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she said in her heart, now watch this, folks, I sit as a queen, and I am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. You see, folks, the mentality of America is that we will never see bad come to us. Americans have this built-in mentality that if a catastrophe occurs to another nation, especially a third world nation, most people don't care. Why don't they care? Because it's not America. When tens of thousands of people die in other calamities throughout the world, some Americans will become sad for a moment, but for the most part, they don't care. And when it comes to foreign policy and the rest of the world obeying the policemen of the world, Americans have the attitude that the rest of the world needs to listen to us. They need to do what we say because, after all, we're Americans. So getting back to Ezekiel chapter 16, the sins of Sodom, the number one sin mentioned first, she had pride. She sits as a queen and she says, I will not be a widow. I will never see sorrow. In the eyes of God, that is a stench. Because today, as we watch the events of Black Friday, we see the disturbing trend of Americans full of self-esteem, full of self-empowerment, full of entitlement, full of a built-in mentality that I deserve it. That is the sin of pride, my friends. And that is the number one first reason God is going to judge America, because Americans have too much pride. The next thing that is mentioned, she had the fullness of food or the fullness of bread. Today, America is overflowing with bread. In times past, she was the breadbasket of the world. How does this translate? It translates into pleasure, an abundance of things to eat, gluttony. And that's what that's really talking about, my friends, gluttony. To have, and not care about the neighbors. America is a nation of gluttons. Nathan, I don't like what you're saying. You're insulting me. Folks, I'm reading from the scriptures. It says it right here. Israel had a problem with gluttony, and I submit this to you. So does America. I believe if we looked at statistics, America has one of the worst problems with gluttony. And then look at the next thing mentioned, an abundance of idleness. Idleness, what does that mean? They had a lot of free time on their hands. And how often is it that when individuals have a lot of time on their hands, and a lot of pleasure, they seem to gravitate to fleshly and carnal acts, coveting, materialism. Folks, I submit this to you. This nation is drunk and intoxicated with materialism. How many individuals in the church are fixated with materialism? with gotta have it mentality, with name it and claim it. I want wealth. God wants me to have an overabundance of riches. Today's American church is drunk with this mentality. You know what, folks? In the coming season, God is going to strip many individuals from their earthly anchors and the earthly chains of possessions and materialism. And God is going to show many individuals what is really important in this life, that relationships and fruit are the most important things. Those days are coming, folks. Look at the next thing mentioned. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. For the most part, most Americans do not help the poor. Yes, they donate to charities, mainly to churches, mainly to the huge, large mega churches. But aside from that, most individuals in America do not help those around them that have less than them. And according to this scripture, my friends, this does not translate as fruitful acts in the eyes of God. So in the days ahead, my friends, I know that many times I share and I challenge those of you with the means to preserve your wealth and preserve the fruits of your labor. So I'm not saying that your hard work is something that's evil. But what I am saying is that the attitude of coveting, of materialism, is a stain in any life. And also, I would say this. If you have been blessed by God, and God has given you an extra portion, then may I challenge you, my friend, to be open to the probability of blessing those that are poor around you. Now, in addition to strengthening the hand of the poor and the needy, I would also throw this in, my friends. You know, folks, it seems like when you look at the total of ministries that exist, there is an imbalance. Just like you see the big banks that are too big to fail, and then you have the small banks. In the same way with ministries, you have huge, huge ministries that are taking in hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And then you have the small ministries that are trickling about and barely staying afloat. Folks, may I also challenge you with this? Be open to blessing ministries and helping ministries that are making a difference, that have an exhibition of fruit, and that are making a difference in changed lives. Now, verse 50 in Ezekiel goes on, and then it says, once again, they were haughty and they committed abominations before me. Now, haughty and abominations, I would say that that's the category of the homosexuals. And isn't it interesting that the abomination is mentioned with haughtiness, which is also pride. And may I submit this to you, my friends? Gay pride is the moniker that we see today across the land. The homosexuals want to boldly proclaim with pride that their lifestyle is a lifestyle that God approves of. How interesting is it that right here in Ezekiel that the abominable ones are mentioned as also haughty ones? Well, that's a no-brainer, right, folks? And then it goes on to say, therefore I took them away as I saw fit. So also here in America, my friends, we can expect that God is going to take away some individuals as he sees fit, which also must translate into another challenge. My friends, be one of those that calls out for the mercy of God so that he can sustain you and bring provision into your life. Be one of those that gets purged and refined, but not taken away. I want to encourage you with this. You can make it. You can endure if you do your homework now. All right, my friends? Well, it looks like we're running out of time once again. Real quick, I want to say that, folks, we are a listener-supported ministry, so please seek God about sending a gift to help support our future work. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Also, folks, go to our website and don't forget to send us your snail mail address. All right, folks, well, we're out of time. Hang in there, folks. Be looking for our future programs. Share this with your friends and your loved ones, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.